Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, hour number two. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. NFL no huddle, just a couple of minutes away. College football corner, we'll keep getting into Georgia and Tennessee. Among some other fun games coming up on Saturday as well. Not the most, like,
appealing,
headliney Saturday, but there's still some fun ones, some good matchups. And we'll get into that in about 20 minutes. And then TJ Yates, Atlanta Falcons quarterbacks coach, is going to join us at 12:40 as well.
The Hawks have released their City Edition jerseys.
All right.
Uniforms. They're nice.
Describe them, if
okay.
you would.
Because
I don't have it in front of me,
okay.
And then I'll help you.
So they're white, and they have a navy blue stripe across the middle that has Hawks in it.
Uh-huh.
Numbers are on the top of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the that's like an old school Hawks look, sort of.
Right.
How you have that, like, diagonal stripe across the front. It was like '80s, early '90s, like Dominique era, but it wasn't that color,
okay.
Right?
No, you're talking about the design.
Yeah, the design kind of looks like that.
Yeah,
yeah, and then it looks pretty good.
You think they'll send us one?
If we say it looks really good,
I like it.
I love it. I think it looks great. I always, this is like, obviously blue is not their traditional color. What they have in their normal colors. I know historically they've had some blue and some green and stuff like that, but like right now it's red and yellow and black. I always like blue because mm-hmm. I think I look good in blue.
Oh, okay.
So anytime a team goes with a blue alternate, I'm like, oh, I can maybe wear that.
Yeah, but yes, they're coming
makes
out.
My eyes pop.
And let's see.
You know what I mean?
They pop very well. Yeah, I was trying to, because they got the schedule out when they're going to wear them. And it looks like, here we go. They're going to wear them on November 25th. They're going to wear them December 6th against the Lakers.
All right.
The Bulls, the Rockets. The Bucks, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the 76ers, and the Golden State Warriors.
All right, good. I will say this. They're better than some teams, that's for sure.
I mean,
some of the ones that are out there are not.
I think it's almost, I think,
not good.
I just think it's each his own as far as how you like, because I don't like everything. You know, I can't stand all that other stuff. It's some, I actually like this.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, I actually like this.
It looks pretty good. Again, I know what it is. It's just like the courts. But maybe it's a little bit different because that's more about maybe you're trying to appeal to a younger audience. This is maybe trying to appeal to a younger audience, keep it fresh, and also, you know, sell a little product.
Yeah.
Just it's a new jersey to buy.
Yeah.
If you're buying jerseys.
Back up.
Yeah.
Back up.
Now you got to get the City Edition.
But yeah, I'm like, did you see all them games last night as far as Wemby? Wemby went.
I watched a lot of NBA.
The tallest
last night.
Guy to ever have 50 points. And I'm talking about he was shooting that thing from half court.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 50 points last night for Wemby in a win, which is, you know, more of that to come. Like, Wemby's, you know, pretty clearly going to be that
Giannis
guy.
Giannis went for 50.
Giannis went for 59.
Giannis looked like, okay, damn it.
Yep.
All right.
Enough's enough. Yep,
let me go win this daggone game.
That's what
for
the
y'all.
The last two games have looked like.
He's enough, like, is enough, doggone it.
Like, I'm still one of the best players in the NBA. Like, we've tried this other way of, like, getting other guys involved.
No, just give me the ball.
Trying this Doc Rivers half-court thing. No. Just let me get my head downhill.
Yes.
They're either going to foul me or I'm going to dunk it, and that's what's going to happen.
Leave me alone.
Let me kind of play how I want to play. LeBron took over that game in the fourth quarter. He's 35, 12, and 14.
Third straight triple-double.
He's 100 years old. He's been in the league forever. And,
third straight triple-double.
He's got three triple-doubles in a row. And they're 7-4, man. They're 6-0 at home now.
Yeah.
I know Ja didn't play last night for the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
That didn't stop AD from getting into it with his dad.
Oh, yeah. T always got to get him somebody.
Yeah, his dad's at midcourt jawing with the AD, which is a lot of fun. But, I kind of feel like, and I don't want to, I know the season started a few weeks ago, and we've talked about it here and there. Something about the other night with, like, the Hawks beating the Celtics, the NBA Cup starting, Klay going back to Golden State. Like, there's some storylines really kind of starting to percolate a little bit.
Yeah.
It feels like the NBA season has started now. You know what I mean? Like, I know it started a month ago.
Right.
But, like, it feels like there's a little bit of storyline momentum and some intrigue and stuff like that, that it got off to a bit of a slow start.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And
yeah.
Now there's stuff that's happening where it's like, all right, here we go.
Right.
Now we're kind of rolling a little bit. Now we're getting a little action here.
Yeah.
Because, like, the first month is like, yeah. All right.
But, I mean, it's still
anybody playing yet?
Obviously, football and everything. And the NFL knows that they're daddy. That's why they snatched their damn most, you know, the one day that everybody looks forward to, Christmas, the NBA.
Yeah.
And the NFL's like, give me that. They snatched it like how T.I. snatched off Laura Linda Shane.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looked like.
Nunu got her chain snatched.
Yeah. It's like, just don't take her damn chain. Like, you get an axe for it or something.
She was lying about who she was.
Well, I mean, but she was still who she was. She was still
fine.
She was still fine as hell. You know, I mean,
but she was from the right side of the tracks, and she was lying about it.
Yeah, I mean, she's still fine, though. You know what I mean? Damn.
Well, and in the end, that won out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
She
was still fine.
He was mad that she betrayed his trust.
I get all that, but she was still fine. It looked like that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's why he gave the chain back
later. Yeah, she could help with the bills. Because her daddy was rich.
Or get his buddy an internship.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you better slow down. She was still fine.
A great movie.
Yeah, I love it.
Absolutely incredible movie.
Oh, I know that ain't what I think it is.
Yeah.
The best line in the movie.
If it only led to that, it would be great. But there was other great, yeah, it was other just a phenomenal movie. All right, let's get to an NFL No Huddle to kick off the noon hour. NFL No Huddle every single day at 12 o'clock or 12:07 whenever we get done talking about ATL. Let's hear from Raheem Morris talking about Bo Nix.
That's clearly the thing that jumps off tape to you. You know, his ability to scramble and run the football. Like, I always knew he could move around the pocket and do different things, but him running away from people this year has been really impressive. And, like, he's done a nice job of that. You know, Sean does a great job of getting his quarterbacks easy completions, and he's given him reads that he can absolutely handle. And when it's not there, when it breaks down, he's been able to run away from a lot of good defenses. So we got to go out there and contain this guy and keep him in the pocket. And you got to tackle him when we have opportunities. He's got some big-time runs. What is he, second in the league in rushing from quarterbacks
now? Yeah. Bo can pick him up and put him down now.
He can.
He can pick him up and put him down. He can go. And that's what, I mean, and when you have an athletic quarterback, when you're trying to learn how to play the NFL level, you kind of let them kind of do that a little bit, improvise. You help them, like you were saying yesterday, with, like, stuff he's familiar with in college, you know, because it's not hard to read a go route. You know, this is like some concepts he's still growing into. But, yeah, I mean, the dude is elusive if you allow him to be.
Yeah. You can also limit him if you make him stay in the pocket, yes, and try to make him throw the football. I know he's been very efficient throwing the football. There's a lot of real short throws, easy, high percentage throws for him, which, again, is very smart. They're going about it the right way. The Falcons just have to go about taking that away from him and making him uncomfortable.
Right.
Never once in Bo Nix's playing career have you and I come on the radio on a Monday after he played a team that we wanted to win and had him win.
Yeah.
He's 0-7 against Georgia and Washington combined.
Yep.
Let's not let that change.
Please
on Sunday.
Not.
Don't lose to Bo Nix.
No,
do that.
No, don't go in there. Don't go into the bye week at two game loser streak.
Yeah,
and
that'd be tough.
Go into your bye week on a high note, and they can beat the Broncos.
Definitely,
they can beat the Broncos. But then there's going to be opportunities because of the ebb and flow of the game. They're going to make some plays. That's just how this game goes and everything. But just make more have more moments than they do. You know, you got to be consistent in the run game. I think that's going to be the biggest thing for the Falcons, being able to run the football. Because what, you know, any team, what they want to do is they want to handicap you and make you one-dimensional. And the one-dimensional for the Falcons ain't bad because you got Kirk Cousins throwing the football. But that also helps them out as far as where the pressure goes. And would you say they're second in the league in pressures in sacks?
Sacks, yeah, they are. They get to the
four
quarterback.
Four guys with five.
As much as any of that's right.
Yeah.
They spread it around. It's not like they just have one guy who's getting all the sacks. The thing that killed the Falcons last week, which shouldn't have, but it did, was the explosive play, right, to Mark Quez Valdez Scantling. Broncos aren't a big explosive offense.
No, they're not.
So, again, shouldn't have happened last week.
Neither
are the Saints.
Yeah.
Especially with the personnel that they had in there.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself in saying that they're not an explosive offense. They shouldn't be able to do that to you. But they're not, so don't let them do that to you. And the Falcons have also been really good at limiting that this season. Like, they had kept it all in front of. That was what was so frustrating about it. It was like,
because that's what
an
y'all
offense
told
that
us.
Isn't explosive.
Yeah.
And a defense that doesn't allow explosives, get together, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling has the best half of his life.
He went player of the week.
He should have.
Yeah.
Player of the first half. One damn half. All right, here's Anthony Richardson being, like, saying exactly the right thing about the last couple weeks.
You know, just so that I'm willing to be a pro, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice anything that I need to do for the team. You know, I feel like these past 2 weeks has definitely opened my eyes and allowed me to have the opportunity to do that and just take a deeper dive and look into myself and see what I'm, you know, made of. So I'm thankful for these past 2 weeks, and I'm low-key glad that it happened.
There you go. What? I don't know if he's glad that it happened, but, yeah, make it into a positive, right? Next time you're tired, lie about it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the biggest thing you need to do. But I mean,
or do a little more conditioning and don't get tired.
These games are so important for him and Shane.
Yeah.
They're so important for him and Shane.
Yeah. They got to,
yeah,
just like with Canales and,
yes,
and Bryce Young.
Yes.
You got to show some signs.
Yep. You got to show some signs so you can go into the offseason as a quarterback. But more importantly, Shane can go into the offseason as a head coach.
Yeah.
And Ballard, because this is going to be Ballard's last one, too. Jim Irsay is going to clean house if this don't go well down the stretch.
Raiders are sticking with Gardner Minshew.
AP's like, I know I had a bench this guy three times in the season.
What's the record for getting benched and then unbenched?
I don't know.
In a season?
Gardner Minshew's been benched three times.
He's got to be approaching it.
And he said, I'd rather play him than play Desmond Ridder.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather play him than play Desmond Ridder.
Yep.
Yeah. That's where it is right there.
But we're getting, because Gardner's going to get benched again.
Yes.
It's just got
to. And it's going to be this game.
Probably.
Yeah.
But it's just got to sync up right, because you got to want the story, right?
Desmond Ridder starts against the Falcons.
Got to want Desmond Ridder starting on Monday night when we're in Vegas and the Falcons are playing the Raiders, mm-hmm, right? Like,
I would think so.
I do.
I would love to see that.
I want it.
I saw this morning. The combine remained in Indianapolis till 2026. I didn't know that was going to be a thing.
Good.
But
it should remain in Indianapolis through 2020
and
forever.
The news that every Jets fan's probably saying, oh, Lord, is that he said he expects a return in 2025.
I know, but didn't he say, like, most likely or some Aaron Rodgers BS? Like, he didn't commit to it.
Oh, my God.
So this saga.
Does he have any more years on his contract in New York?
Probably. I don't know.
If I'm taking that job, he can't put him a quarterback.
Yeah,
he can't be my quarterback.
He's got to go.
He can't be my quarterback.
We can't do this.
He can't be my quarterback.
Is it just, they're not going to let him hold them hostage?
He can't be my quarterback.
Like this, are they?
Yeah.
He's not even playing.
Take
good.
The cap, whatever.
Take the hit.
Take the damn hit.
Get out of here.
You can't be my quarterback.
No, thanks.
No.
See you later. All right. We'll get to an NFL. Sorry, not an NFL. Maybe some of these guys will play in the NFL eventually. College football corner coming up next as we will keep previewing Georgia and Tennessee on Saturday night in Athens. Some other big games as well. Certainly players to watch. Some teams that have great records that I feel like losses are probably going to find. They always find you if you're not that great. We'll see if there's a team or two this Saturday as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, noon hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Hey, if you're looking for a place to watch the Georgia game on Saturday, be sure to huddle up at Buffalo's Cafe in Griffin. Before the game, you can stay and watch the game there as well. Mike Johnson will be there from 5 to 7 on Saturday, hanging out at Buffalo's Cafe on Highway 16 West in Griffin. So stop by and see one of the stars of the morning shift on Saturday evening before the Georgia-Tennessee game. And again, stay, hang around and watch it there.
Might be down in the grill.
Yep.
Yeah, but I got a question for you because we were talking about this Aaron Rodgers thing. We were like, where would he go?
Yeah.
And I said,
home,
only place I could ever think, only team.
Yep.
Is Oakland.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing. That's the only team.
They're already at Three Ring Circus.
Yeah.
I think, whatever, hallucinogens are probably legal in Nevada, probably.
Yeah.
I would assume. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
We'll just go with it.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, because nobody wants that nonsense.
No.
Yeah. Nobody wants that crap.
I'm like, seriously, that's the only place is Vegas.
You know, you're such a bad organization when that's the thought process.
Yes.
It's like, well, they're a disaster, and he is too. So maybe they can meet up and spontaneously combust together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, no one else would do it. Like, it's not the same thing as Brett Favre when he was in New York at the end of his career, because he played okay when he was healthy, and then he went to Minnesota and actually had a really good year, or two, or however many it was. But Aaron's not playing good.
No, he's not.
Like, and they're obviously not good. They already fired their coach, so a new coach is going to come in. Like you said, like, if I'm getting hired there, the first thing I ask is, what's your plan with him?
Yep. Because I'm like,
I don't want to coach him. Yeah, we have to go to a different route. The other thing, we didn't get into this in the NFL No Huddle, we could talk about it here because it's sort of college and NFL, is the report about Shedeur Sanders and them sort of saying, like, yeah, I mean, the wrong team drafts him. They're not trying to do that.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be something. And, you know, Deion doesn't want him to go to certain places. I don't know where those certain places are.
Yeah, but we could probably guess.
But, like, what?
The Jets. The Panthers, the Browns.
Yeah. And so, I mean, those are going to be the things. But, yeah. I mean, Deion has that cachet to be able to pull that off.
Yeah, I think Deion does. I also think if you're the first quarterback drafted, you have the cachet to pull that off.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and there was hints of that last year with Caleb Williams and people getting – and look, you can feel however you want to feel about it. I've consistently been – if that's how you feel as a – player and you're picking your professional future, then do that.
Like, where do you want to go?
Stand behind it.
And you can.
Yeah, and you have the ability to make that decision, then make that decision. Tell them you don't want to play for them. Now, I guess if they draft you anyway, you do or you don't.
Right.
or you can decide not to, and then you're at a stalemate. But I don't know what would actually happen in that case, because I don't know that we've seen that happen. Have we? We've seen it in baseball, but not really in the NFL, where if a top-level player, only one that comes to mind in recent memory is Eli, says, I don't want to play for you, then they just don't draft him.
No.
Then they made it work, and he went to New York, and it was what it was. If Carolina's going to take him, and he says, I don't want to go there, and Carolina takes him anyway, then what? Like, then what happens?
Yeah. I don't know. It's all crazy when you look at it, because remember, when we were going to the season last year, it was all about, well, Caleb don't want to go to Chicago, and blah, 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 and I never said that. I don't know how this is going to pan out. It all depends on who gets the first pick, whether Shedeur is going to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I don't know if he will either. I just if that's where your stance is, then fine.
What do you think? Who's
I wouldn't want to be a quarterback for the Panthers.
I wouldn't want to be. That's what I'm saying. Like, no.
It's a terrible organization.
Why can't we find somewhere where this kid can be successful and all those different things? So, but what that pick ain't until 8?
I still don't want to go there.
Yeah, like everybody's not, like, you got 1, 2. No, I don't want to be drafted there. Eventually, it's like, I don't give a damn. Because if I'm the organization, I don't give a damn what you want.
Right. Yeah. And the organization would be perfectly justified in doing that. It's like, we're going to draft you anyway, and then you can choose to not play football.
Exactly.
You can come here and make some money. I do think the slight game change is, and there was that report from On3, Rusty had tweeted it this morning, like, not that it's the same as first round draft pick money, because it's not. But these quarterbacks are coming out of college not broke.
Oh, no,
like, these guys have millions of dollars.
They do.
Like, it's a little bit of a different ball game now where you can be like, I'm not going to play, and I have $4 million.
But if you listen, I think he was on Ham and Mace's thing, Shedeur was. And he was based on, I was like, yeah, this money.
That's awesome.
You can have the money that he's making now is good money. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. And I can get stuff right now. But it ain't that money.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course. But it might be enough for you to stand a little firmer than you
otherwise would. Could be.
Because 15 years ago, you weren't probably broke.
Like,
either,
Eli people had money.
It was different.
Yeah, Eli people had money.
His family had money and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know what Caleb's situation is family-wise, but I know Caleb had like $10 million in NIL money from USC.
Damn.
So had he made the decision to be like, no, I don't want to play for the Chicago Bears and I'm going to sit out, at least to be sitting out in a nice condo, You know what I mean? You're not sitting out back at home at your mom's house.
Right.
It's like you have a little bit of different bargaining power or like willingness to stand firm, put your feet in the sand, whatever, dig your heels in, because you have millions of dollars now.
Yeah,
this is different.
I mean, I understand you're going to run, but yeah, it ain't that. It ain't NFL money.
It's not NFL money. And you're also not playing. It would be really fun to play football.
I keep saying that. Deion ain't going to Dallas.
To coach?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was the other thing. We don't want you to draft Shadur, but if you do, you got to hire me as head coach.
Yeah.
Then that would be.
Like, really? Like, this ain't damn this ain't Pee-wee?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, but you know what? Man. I don't know. If I want Shadur that bad, sure, come on.
Come on, man.
Do you know, I don't know if that's real. It seems foolish, but I don't know. It's 2024, man. Anything's possible in the world of sports these days. I want it to be true. I want it to be true, and I want it to happen.
If Deion takes a head coach's job and they draft his son.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, let it be, I don't care where it is. Let it be the Jets we just talked about. Like, he goes to Woody Johnson, and he's like, yeah, you got to get Aaron out of here. Yeah. You draft my son. I got your next coach. Just for the sheer fury that it would cause so many.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Deion went from coaching a high school charter school.
Uh-huh.
Jackson
did great job
to 2 years at Colorado.
They're 7-2. They're ranked.
And to the NFL head coach.
It's a fast rise.
That's a hell of a rise.
it's a meteoric rise.
Hell of a rise. That is a hell of a rise.
It's a meteoric rise, but it's Deion Sanders.
Yeah, that's a hell of a rise.
I don't think you'd do it if your name is, you know, Mike Sanders or something like that. You probably got to be Deion in order to rise like that, but you know. I don't know. I would like if that happened. It would be very funny. All right, here's Kirby Smart talking about some of the issues that they face on Saturday against Tennessee, and very likely Tennessee's best player.
He is an elite runner. The runs they run are sometimes non-traditional. I mean, they run some runs that other people don't run because of the space in the box. He's very patient. He hits small creases. He's hard to tackle. I mean, you don't put up – how many touchdowns he's got in the SEC? 20-something?
20.
I mean, that's crazy. In the SEC is the hardest league in the world to run the ball in on because they got the most size defensive linemen. And he continues to do it at a crazy pace to me. So what year is he, by the way? Yeah, I mean, he's
good.
He's as good. I mean, it seems like he's been there for a while. And I know where he's from in Louisiana. They do nothing but have great backs from there. He reminds me so much his run skill set of Kamara, of Alvin. He's very smooth and elusive.
Yeah, he's a good back.
He is Dylan Sampson.
He's a really good player,
He is Dylan Sampson, who's Kirby's talking about there. He's got 20 touchdowns.
He's a hell of a runner, man.
Outrage.
He's a hell of a runner. And it's going to be an attitude game because they're not just coming in the game not going to give him the football.
Yeah, they're going to try to establish that.
Yeah, they're
going
to try to establish that. And this
that's
where,
their identity.
And this is where Georgia, when you got all those players back that we're talking about on the defensive line, whose specialty is supposed to be to stop the run. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah, this is a manhood game for Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean, you went down to Oxford on Saturday and you got bullied in the trenches in a way that I don't remember happening in the Kirby era since when. I don't know. When's the last time it looked like that to a Kirby team?
Oh, man.
Get beat by 18 points?
LSU.
And get punched. Okay, but that's a while ago,
a long
right?
Time
like
ago.
That, that's pre-national championship, pre-COVID. Like, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
They got bullied, man. Like, and those guys are good. Those guys are NFL players. Like, a lot of these guys that are on those lines are guys that are going to play at the next level.
But they're not as good as the other ones, though.
Fair enough.
They're not.
Fair
they're,
enough.
They're not as good.
Fair
Brinson's
enough.
A good player.
They don't have to be.
But they're not
they
as
don't
good. They're not as good.
They have to be better
guys.
Than they were on Saturday.
And that's the most important thing. That's because you keep
they have
saying
to be better
you,
than Tennessee.
Yeah, you keep saying that they're not, but it's a difference. And you can tell by that.
It is.
The difference of talent is kind of glaring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah.
It is clear.
You're going to get bullied if you're not, you don't have Jordan and Jalen, those boys. These guys are good players. They're not great players. Those guys were great players. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure out how to get this defense that great. This defense is good, but those defenses were great, and they were a different type of great. Just like you said it earlier in the show talking about matchups and everything like that. It didn't matter who the hell Georgia matched up with.
Right. That's, to me, the biggest difference in watching them this year versus the last handful of years is, like, it was just a matter of how those guys on defense were going to adapt to take away what you did. It didn't really matter what you did.
Right.
It might take a drive or two. Remember, like, that would happen in 22. It was like they'd give up maybe a touchdown on the first drive.
Remember that?
And then they'd be like, okay,
all right,
we see what you do. And then they wouldn't score again.
Right.
Or you'd score a field goal in the third quarter, and that would be it. Because they had so many dudes that were so versatile and could adjust and play. That's not what it is now.
No.
Like, they're good, not at that level. And hopefully Tennessee is not the type of matchup that exploits what Georgia's defense can't do. I don't think they are. I think they're good, but not like the offenses that have exploited them this year.
Who's ran the ball like that on Georgia?
Nobody.
Nobody.
No.
That's what
I mean, Milroe was able to do it, and Dart sort of. Yeah. But from a running back position, not this year.
It wasn't too many times that they haven't faced somebody like him.
No.
You know, and I think that's all that has to be said. But, yeah, I mean, they've been relatively pretty good outside of the quarterback run. The quarterback runs has given Georgia a fit. That's why when we play Tech, the quarterback runs is going to give them a fit. Mm-hmm. And so they got to figure out spying, whatever you got to do. But, yeah, because when we played Texas, when the run game against Texas, and Quinn Ewers didn't go nowhere.
Well, he can't.
And he was sitting right there, and they were tearing his ass up.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you're going to justify it, I think it was still the wrong time to do it. But that's why Sark went to Arch, because Arch can move a little bit.
Do you remember the first time he moved? He got sacked for 12.
First time. He did break up their biggest play in the game.
And then tried to run that scramble and got sacked for 12 yards.
They went and got him. You know who I think loses on Saturday?
Who that?
I think BYU loses on Saturday.
Who they got?
Kansas. Kansas is not great. They beat the hell out of Iowa State last weekend.
Where are they playing at?
Kansas.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry. No, they're playing in Provo.
Okay, calm down, Abe. Goodness gracious.
They're playing
that's wrong!
They're playing in Provo. Sorry, I got it. My bad. Relax. They're playing at Arrowhead next weekend. Got a little ahead of myself. They're at Arrowhead next weekend. That game's in Provo. But BYU's been flirting with it, man.
They have.
Could have very easily lost to Utah last weekend. Oklahoma State, who sucks, like flat out sucks, almost beat them 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. They kind of been doing the Miami. They've been flirting with it.
Playing with their food.
I don't even think it's that, because I think good teams play with their food. I think they're good, but like I think they're just not. They're not an undefeated caliber through 10 games team. Is all I think about them.
Well,
I think teams that aren't that eventually
they get beat.
The loss finds
they
them.
They get got.
Yeah, the loss will find you. I think it finds them on Saturday night in Provo, Utah. At Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Gonna have to stay up late for that one. 10:15 kickoff.
Ooh! Yeah, we'll be stumbling through that one.
Washington plays on Friday, so I'm off the hook for late night football. That'll be a good one, too, by the way. You want to check out Washington Huskies taking on UCLA Bruins. Kind of got to win it to get into a bowl game.
All right, man, UCLA's been playing some good ball lately.
They have. They won last weekend. They've been playing better.
They're playing some good ball, man.
They're playing
okay. Deshaun got it. No. Compared to what it was,
they're playing better. Yeah, they're. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Washington. All right, we'll come back. T.J. Yates is going to join us. He's the Atlanta Falcons quarterbacks coach. We'll check in with him after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What it is, Atlanta? Happy Trivia Thursday.
Happy Trivia Thursday to all the 92.9 The Game listeners out there. And now,
welcome back, Andy and Randy.
Yes, sir.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Noon hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. About 20 minutes away from getting back into the big story of the day, top of the 1 o'clock hour. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20. But 12:40 on Thursdays have become the home for the Falcons coaching staff. Take a little time and come on the show and chat with us for a little bit, which we appreciate. Today, T.J. Yates, Falcons quarterbacks coach, is our guest. T.J., how are you?
What up, T?
Andy, Randy, how we doing?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing great.
Good. Good to hear. Let's start with the quarterback or the starting quarterback that you're working with. How is working with a veteran like Kirk compare to some of the other situations that you've worked in?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously a blessing to have a guy with that much experience. You know, 13-plus years in the league. You know, you can really just bypass some of the, 100, 200 level conversations, right. Get straight to the 500 level conversations. You can get, in depth on some talks about coverage, fronts, pressures, blitzes, all that stuff. And then he obviously has a ton of, experience going against all these different coordinators he's seen over the years and all the things that he's seen over the years. So, all the talk in the quarterback room is a lot of healthy conversations. It's obviously good for young Mike Penix to hear all these things and be able to experience all the different experiences that other guys have. And we have a lot of good, healthy conversations. And it obviously makes my job a lot easier having a guy with that much, with that many pelts on the wall.
How has he grown, TJ, in this offense? Going all the way back to Pittsburgh where it didn't look as good as it has looked now. What has Kirk done as far as getting on the same page with his receivers in your eyes?
Yeah, no, even though that Kirk has been in a very similar type of offense, all offenses and all offensive coordinators have their own spin on things and, you know, how they view it, and everything's going to be a little bit different. So it took some time for, you know, Kirk to just get comfortable with the new system and new receivers and throwing with different guys. And, you know, obviously, as he's admitted to everybody, he wasn't as healthy as he is now early on in the season. And I don't care who you are, how many years you played in this league, if you haven't been in an NFL pocket in an NFL game in a long time, it's going to take a little bit of getting used to, especially, you know, going right into the fire against Pittsburgh, against one of the best defenses in the league with one of the best pass rushes. So, you know, obviously see a little bit of growing pains as we've gone throughout the season, but we've really seen, you know, our offense, him, everybody just kind of mold together and keep progressing every single week. It hasn't been perfect. It hasn't, you know, been exactly what we want. We know our ceiling is still very high, and we haven't even come close to reaching that. But it's been great to see his progression and how much he's grown with everybody on the offense, all the coaches, all of us kind of molding together and putting this together as we go through the season.
Are you able to notice things that he can do now physically in game that maybe he wasn't able to do, or like you're talking about coming off not playing and a little bit of rust and that kind of stuff, healthier now, which is crazy to say for a football player to be healthier midseason than he was early in the season, but we understand why. Are you able to notice things physically that he can do now that he wasn't able to do in those first couple weeks?
Yeah, I wouldn't say the things that he couldn't do. Maybe it's just something he wasn't comfortable with doing yet. You know, I've been a guy that's coming off a knee surgery or a major surgery like that. Like until you get out there and trust yourself and you just instinctively make some of these moves and some of these reactions that you can't really mimic in practice, you got to have some game time reps to be able to knock some of that rust off. And I wouldn't say things that he couldn't do, maybe things he wasn't even, you know, subconsciously really trying, but now, you know, he's full go. He has all the reactions. He's working the pocket. He's reading and reacting without thinking out there, which has been really good for our drop back pass game.
I got a question, because me and my partner were talking about the logistics of the play calling, and I know, look, I'm a lot older than you are, but when the play is called in, does Zach call to you and you call to Kurt, or does it go straight from Zach to Kurt?
Zach straight to
Kurt. It goes straight to him.
It's a direct line of communication between those two guys. Zach's up in the box and he calls it straight into him.
Okay, I was making sure. You're making sure about that.
And there's been other people that do it separately. Sure. You know, there's been different offenses that rotate that way, but right, it's straight from Zach to Kirk.
So I'm trying to ask this from like a logistics standpoint. I'm not trying to sound disrespectful when I ask it. I'm just adding, like, on Sundays when that's happening in game and the communication is going like that, like, what's TJ Yates' role in game on Sunday? Like, what are you doing during the games?
Yeah, you know, when Kirk comes off the sideline, we obviously, you know, look at all the pictures on the tablets and make sure that, you know, really everything that Zach is, you know, wanting for us to echo down to the, you know, the receivers, the running backs, the Zach in-game adjustments, because in-game adjustments are happening all the time.
Right.
So, you know, I'm really just making sure whatever Zach wants upstairs is being echoed down to wherever it needs. And then, you know, between all the coaches, everybody's got a headset, but between Kirk and I specifically, just, you know, really going over the pictures, what he's seeing out there, you know, what coverage is he seeing, how he's feeling certain things. There's a ton of communication that goes on in between series. So, and it's not just, you know, between me and Kirk, you know, DJ Williams, obviously, and Mike's got his involvement as well. We're all just kind of talking ball on the sideline. We're all seeing what we're all feeling out there. And really just making sure that we're all set for the next series going forward.
How about the young buck? You mentioned him earlier, Michael Penix, obviously learning from Kirk and everything, but how about his process? Because we all know this about the NFL quarterback. He's usually the first guy in, last guy to leave. How has it been working with him, trying, you know, as far as getting him on that, you know what, we're here at what time y'all get, about 5 o'clock in the morning. You got to be here at 5. You probably won't play, but you have to prepare like you're going to play. How has it been working with him in that aspect?
No, it's been really good, and he's obviously learned from a guy like Kirk that is one of the best workers I've ever been around as far as being a true, true professional. So, and just being around other guys on our team too and seeing how other guys operate, and it's a part of the maturation process of being a rookie and kind of figuring out, you know, your schedule and your process and taking from other guys and, you know, just trying to get as best process as you can so you can be efficient with your time, you can study, you can work on your body work, you can do all these different things. So, you know, Mike's been, you know, really learning on the run and, you know, just perfecting this process every single week. And he is, you know, he's not shy to ask questions. He's not shy to speak up. So it's been really good, you know, conversation, not only in the room about football stuff, but about, you know, stuff is just about being a professional. And, you know, I can, you know, kind of, you know, be a little bit with Mike here, because I think being a backup quarterback is one of the hardest things in the NFL.
Yeah,
because you don't get any practice reps.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get any time with the receivers that are going to be out there on the field. So, and then when you do get in, you're expected to perform. And it's basically, you can take anybody in professional sports and say, go out there and perform at a high level without practicing. So it is a tough task, but you know, DJ Williams does a great job of, you know, really making sure Mike is prepared as possible, because, you know, I'll be with Kirk the majority of the time. DJ will be with Mike the majority of the time. We kind of split up a little bit of the time there to make sure that we're giving each guy as much attention as we can give them and get them as prepared as possible, because, you know, whether it's walkthroughs, whether it's after practice, before practice, mental work, extra throws, Mike's doing everything that he can every single week to make sure that if he does have to go in that game, he'll be as prepared as he can be.
TJ, we appreciate it.
You, brother.
Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks, guys.
Take care, man.
TJ Yates there, Atlanta Falcons quarterbacks coach. Kind of, you know, the obvious stuff about Kirk and how he's doing and all that, but just sort of interested to get the behind the scenes. I'm glad you asked it. I was going to ask a similar thing, just about, like, you know, Michael Penix, first round draft pick,
mm-hmm.
top 10, great college career, all that, comes in with all this hype. He knows he's going to be sitting behind this veteran quarterback.
Right.
At the very least for a couple of years, mm-hmm. best case scenario, if Kirk can stay healthy, and it looks very much like he's going to, knock on wood. That's a wild deal. Like, that's very different in the modern day, and it's, I don't know, I hope it does all the things that he's talking about there, like mm-hmm. getting from the 100 and 200 level conversations to 300 and 400 level conversations before you ever actually have to go out there and do anything. You'd think that it would, but it's interesting to hear him talk about what his life is like right now, knowing that he's probably never going to see the field.
Yeah, man, and you got to think, you know, just and what TJ said was at the end, basically, you know, but being a backup quarterback, you don't get no reps in practice.
Right.
Not once the season starts. It's all about the first team quarterback and everything like that. And usually when you have a young quarterback, Michael will probably do some stuff after practice mm-hmm. and everything as far as with the game plan. But, yeah, I think the biggest thing, and I say this all the time when we have young players that weren't playing like they wanted to play or something like that, I'd always tell them, first of all, prepare like you're going to start. And don't get bored with the process of preparing. Meaning, you know, you're going to play. You know what I mean? Always go through that whole process, because I've been in situations where guys have went down and you've had to watch these young guys have to come in and they weren't prepared to come in because they were over there not paying attention. Oh, I'm just going to be on special teams today. All those other things. And now your ass got to go out there and play a position that you were brought in to play, and yet you don't know what you're doing. And it's, boy, you all about them big eyes in the huddle?
That's not what you want, man.
That's not what you want. You don't want big eyes in the huddle.
Because you know that's when it's going to happen. As soon as you let your guard down, you're like, your preparation yep. slips a little bit. That's when the guy in front of you gets hurt.
Yep.
And then they need you.
Yep.
And you're like, hang on, what? What was it? What was the play?
And you're looking at Eddie. And you're looking at the kid.
Right.
You're looking dead in their face.
Like,
you're like,
God,
damn.
This is going to be a hard rep for him.
You look at it. And you can tell. Dude, I just saw this. Because you remember, obviously, the hurricane and everything went through Tampa. The Tampa Bay Rays will play their 2025 home games at the New York Yankees nearby spring training ballpark.
Oh.
Okay. Is that about as how big is that place?
It's a single A stadium.
Okay.
Okay.
Along Dale Mabry.
Okay.
Couple thousand.
But it's the Rays, though.
Parking's
going to
be
out.
They might sell out.
They might sell out. Parking's a disaster, and it's not covered.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What's a worse situation? Now, theirs is involuntary.
Yeah.
Theirs are the A's having to play in the Sacramento minor league stadium.
Ooh.
The A's is worse, right?
I mean,
I think that's AAA, though, right?
At least it's AAA, but like, but the process by which they got there,
yeah,
right,
yeah, base,
yeah,
because they're still in Sacramento.
They are in Sacramento,
yeah,
yeah.
And I'm trying to think. Would you take where's the Yankees thing at? Is it in St. Pete?
No,
where's it at?
Tampa.
Is it Tampa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, Tampa's better. You got Ybor City.
I mean, yeah,
you got
Mons Venus.
How close are you to the beach?
It's close to Mons Venus.
You got Mons Venus.
Beach. How long of a drive?
I mean, their beaches ain't that good.
No one goes to the beach in Tampa.
Well, they're better beaches. I'm just saying, we're comparing Tampa to Sacramento.
Well, ain't no beach in Sacramento.
I know.
Oh,
so better than that.
30 minutes to Clearwater Beach.
You go to the YMCA pool in Sacramento. That's the best you can do there. Or you could drive to, like, you know, you could drive to the Bay Area, but you're not really doing a lot of beach stuff over there either. I'm just saying, it's better than Sacramento. If you learn one thing today, or any day, So we don't have a lot of love for Sacramento on this.
Sacramento's on that Charlotte list, huh?
It's right there.
Why do we don't like Sactown? I don't like Sactown because it's lame.
Yes, it's lame. That's it.
Oh, okay.
No, Sacramento didn't do anything to me other than just be terrible.
Oh, okay. Because we know Charlotte beat you up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Charlotte.
It infected me.
Yeah.
With one of its many diseases.
Yeah, Charlotte gave you that package.
Good now, though. And Charlotte still sucks. So who won? I did. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the final hour of the show. Big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.